Hong Kong's leaders expressing defiance in the weeks-long standoff with protesters there, student protesters, most of them, over democratic reforms in the Chinese territory. Chief Executive Leung Chun-ying Sunday said that he would not step down, a key demand of the protesters. Protesters did remain out on the streets on Sunday, hundreds of them camping in lines and setting up tents in the streets. For some perspective on what's happening in Hong Kong, VOA's Carol Castiel spoke with two analysts. David N. Lampton is a professor and director of Chinese studies at the School of Advanced International Studies, and Dean Chung is senior research fellow in the Asian Studies Center at the Heritage Foundation. Here's Carol Castiel.
Well, David M. Lampton, often known as Mike, we'll refer to you as David, here for our purposes. I'd like to get your reaction to this protest movement. We know it's not monolithic. There are some in Hong Kong who perhaps are not with the students and others who are protesting. Talk about what triggered the movement and how the authorities reacted.
Well, I think there are two broad triggers. One is what you might say a sort of cultural clash between popular perception and opinion on mainland China and that of locals who live in Hong Kong. And there have been lots of people from the mainland coming into Hong Kong Special Administrative Region, buying milk, taking up spaces in the hospital, driving up property prices. So there's a lot of resentment in Hong Kong against the mainland for reasons that have little to do with the politics, actually, and lots of resentment to the mainlanders who think their cousins in Hong Kong aren't very welcoming. And there's a body of opinion in the PRC that says Hong Kong people have it too good. So there's that kind of dynamic. Then there's the political, and this is, in some sense, a democracy movement. But it's complicated because Beijing thinks it's actually moved forward having a popular election, what they would call universal suffrage, in 2017. Beijing sees that as a move forward, but it's not enough to the people of Hong Kong, or at least the people in the streets, which I think represents a lot. And that is because the election will only be able to be among people that are vetted by a large nominating committee. And so the PRC, I think, sees this as a step forward having an election at all, but it's insufficient for the people of Hong Kong because they will have it circumscribed who they can even vote for.
Turning to you, Dean Chang, very interesting points by David M. Lampton. We have the disconnect between those in Hong Kong vis-a-vis the mainland. They're not very happy about some of the mainlanders coming in, taking jobs, housing, and so on. But there's also this political issue. They want their elections in 2017 to be freer. So my question to you is, what was the agreement originally in 2017? Are the protesters who want these freer elections, are they taking it a step further? Or was the agreement really to have these so-called nominees for chief executive? Were they supposed to be vetted, and now the protesters are saying, well, that's just not good enough?
Well, I think what we are seeing here is the maturing of China's ability to play legal games almost as well as the U.S. does. The reality is that the joint declaration between the U.K. and China and then the subsequent basic law didn't say specifically exactly what would and wouldn't occur. The issue of
room for interpretation.
The Chinese government, legally speaking, seems to actually be upholding its part of the agreement, which is universal suffrage. So if you are legally entitled to vote in Hong Kong, and they have a very consistent way of defining that, you will be allowed to vote. Where Beijing has stepped in is who you would be allowed to vote for. So it's a violation of the spirit of the agreement. But from a lawyer's perspective, I suspect, Beijing has both legs to stand on. Now, the issue here, unfortunately, politically, got really exacerbated because within this tension in June, Beijing issued a white paper on Hong Kong, their first. And here, they went much further. They basically said, one country, two system really is subordinating two systems to one country. And you, Hong Kong, first have to show that you are loyal to Beijing. And that really set everyone's teeth on edge so that when the declaration then came out that said, oh, and we're going to have this committee vet all of the candidates, it really made something of a mockery of one country, two systems. So that's why you see people like Chris Patten, the last British governor of Hong Kong, saying, this is not what we agreed to.
Well, turning back to you, David Mike Lambton. Now we seem to be at a bit of a standoff here. Talk about the protesters themselves. To what extent do they represent the majority of Hong Kongers, so to speak? To what extent they are representative?
Well, first of all, the demonstrators in the street are not all students. There are what we'll call the old democracy movement, the people in their 50s and 60s that have been doing this for a long time, and there have been many protests before this current large-scale protest. So this is actually a heterogeneous movement, and they all are in the streets for different combinations of reasons. But broadly speaking, I would say the democracy motivation is a big motivation, and that without firm data, probably a majority of the people in Hong Kong sympathize with the idea of broadening out the electoral process. But if you think about it in interest group terms, there is the what you might call the very big business community in Hong Kong, what's often referred to as the tycoons, and they sent fairly recently a group to Beijing to talk to the central leadership. And these people want stability and a good business environment, and people in the streets shutting down the arteries are not a good business environment. So if you think about the distribution of interest group power in Hong Kong, the people favoring stability, as they would see it, are very powerful.
And when you say they're favoring stability, are they more on the side of the protesters, or are they leaning toward Beijing? Because it's hard to know.
Well, say that all tycoons have exactly the same views,
sure,
but they have similar views. And I think their view would be rather like Dean Chung just articulated, is that actually Beijing moved forward in having universal suffrage election in narrow construction, and that, of course, we do want to continue to move forward in the future, but this is a step forward, and therefore we ought to recognize the progress Beijing's made and push maybe for some compromise on the nominating committee and how that's going to happen. But in the end, I think the business community wants to get the people off the streets at the lowest possible cost to political concession.
That is David M. Lambton. He is a professor and director of Chinese Studies at the School of Advanced and International Studies, and Dean Chung, senior research fellow in the Asia Studies Center of the Heritage Foundation, spoke with VOA's Carol Castiel on our program Encounter. You can hear more of their conversation at our website, voanews.com. Just look under the Programs tab for Encounter.